All right, so today we're going to deep dive into this momentum effect. This idea that all these small wins can like lead to big achievements, right? We got this awesome blog post, The Momentum Effect: How Small Wins Lead to Big Achievements. I'm already like super intrigued by this, and I think our listeners are going to get a ton out of this.
I think it's really interesting because like people think it's all like touchy-feely, feel good kind of stuff. But there's actually a lot of science that explains why this works, and it's so cool.
I get that, but honestly, like sometimes I feel like I need this huge E push to get anything done. You know what I mean? Like, where's the momentum in moving one tiny pebble, you know?
I totally get it. And that's why I think it's so important to understand all the little things that are happening in our brains. Like you're right, it's not just about like dopamine, but that does get things started. But it's more about all these effects that happen kind of one after another.
Okay, so like beyond the dopamine rush, what else is going on? Like, is this where that whole progress principle from Amabile and Kramer comes in?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Their research is like the key here. Basically, they found that like every time you finish even a small task, you're not just crossing it off your list, you're kind of proving to yourself that you can do things, that you're actually making progress, you know?
So it's not just about like feeling good, it's like building this belief in yourself.
Exactly. Like you're working out that can-do muscle, and each win, no matter how small, just makes that foundation stronger and stronger.
Oh, that's interesting. So even tiny wins have this ripple effect based on their research.
Precisely. And get this, they also found that these small wins actually lower those stress hormones like cortisol. Like imagine you've got this huge project looming over you and you're freaking out, but then you break it down into these bite-sized pieces and suddenly it doesn't seem so impossible anymore.
So smaller goals, less stress, and like you're actually more likely to stick with it. I can see how that creates this upward spiral.
And that, my friend, is what we call behavioral momentum. Once you get going with those little wins,
Yeah.
it's way easier to just keep moving forward, you know?
Oh, I like that. Like a snowball rolling downhill. It just keeps getting bigger and faster.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's perfect. And the coolest thing, this isn't just some fluffy theory. There are so many examples in the real world where this has led to massive success.
Oh, I love real world examples. Okay, so like that British cycling thing has always blown my mind. What was it about their approach that was so different?
Okay, so picture this. It's 2003, and British cycling is like the underdog in the cycling world. They'd only won like one Olympic gold medal in almost 100 years. Then this guy, Dave Brailsford, becomes their head coach, and he comes in with this radical idea. He calls it marginal gains, which is like the momentum effect applied to athletes.
So instead of going for these huge improvements, he focused on like tiny tweaks. Is that where that whole 1% better thing comes from?
You got it. He believed that if they improved every single aspect of their training, their gear, everything by just 1%, it would add up to something huge. Now, most people thought he was crazy, but this guy was serious. We're talking like optimizing the aerodynamics of the bikes, even down to like what kind of pillows they use for better sleep. He even taught the team how to wash their hands properly to prevent getting sick.
Whoa, that is some serious attention to detail. But did it actually work?
Oh, it totally worked. Fast forward to the 2012 London Olympics
Yeah.
and British cycling wins, like HHT gold medals. It was insane. They completely dominated, and it was all thanks to that laser focus on tiny improvements.
Okay, that is really impressive. That really shows how these small changes can make a huge E difference.
And it's not just in sports, we see it everywhere. Think about James Clear, the guy who wrote Atomic Habits. He was just a normal college student, but he decided to start making these small, consistent changes in his life, like his diet, exercise, his writing habits, everything.
So he basically used the momentum effect to like upgrade his whole life, right? I mean, I've heard his book is amazing, but I never realized that was his story.
It totally is. He started this blog to track his progress and share his insights about building good habits. And guess what? That blog turned into this mega best-selling book that's helped millions of people change their lives.
That's pretty awesome how building momentum in one area can have these ripple effects across your whole life, you know? Like those wins in one area give you the confidence and energy to tackle other things, right?
Exactly. And it's not just individuals either. There's this awesome case study about Zappos, you know, the online shoe company. They totally revolutionized online shoe retail, and it's a great example of the momentum effect in action.
Okay, yeah, I know Zappos. Their customer service is legendary. I'm really curious to hear how they use this principle.
So they didn't start as this giant company. They were just a small team, right? But they were obsessed with customer service, always looking for tiny ways to improve the experience for their customers. They basically empowered their employees to go above and beyond, to do whatever it took to make customers happy.
So instead of focusing on big marketing campaigns or whatever, they were winning over customers one interaction at a time.
Exactly. And guess what? It totally worked. Word of mouth spread like wildfire, and Zappos quickly became known for their amazing customer service. And that reputation, which was built on countless tiny wins, made them incredibly successful.
That is such a cool example of how paying attention to those small details, those little things that make a difference, can give you a huge advantage.
And it's not just about customer service. Companies like Amazon, Google, Apple, they're always making small improvements to their products and services based on what users are saying.
Yeah.
It's this constant cycle of tiny wins that drives innovation and growth.
It's like they're not afraid to launch something that isn't perfect, but they're always tweaking and improving it, always going for that extra 1% better.
You got it. That mindset is what sets them apart. It's that commitment to continuous improvement, that willingness to embrace those small wins that makes all the difference. Welcome back. You know, we were just talking about all these amazing companies that have used small wins to achieve big things, like Zappos and their incredible customer service.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how those little wow moments can add up to something so huge. But, you know, let's be real, some days even getting started on those tiny actions feels impossible.
Oh, I totally get that. We all get bogged down sometimes. And I think that's why it's so important to understand what can kill our momentum, those sneaky things that can just stop us in our tracks.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about those momentum killers. Like, what are some of the big ones we need to watch out for?
Well, one that's super common, but also kind of sneaky, is not recognizing those small wins when they happen. It's easy to get caught up in that big end goal, you know, like that mountaintop we're trying to reach. And we forget to celebrate those base camps along the way.
Yeah, it's like running a marathon and only caring about crossing the finish line. You forget to, like, appreciate each mile marker you pass.
Exactly. Each one of those milestones, those little victories, they reinforce the behaviors that are moving you forward. If you don't acknowledge them, you're missing out on a key piece of the momentum puzzle.
Makes sense. Like, if you don't appreciate the journey, it's harder to stay motivated for the long haul, right?
Right. And then there's the danger of setting these unrealistic expectations. We all get caught up in the hype of overnight success, and we set these crazy goals without a real plan to get there.
Oh, yeah, like trying to climb Mount Everest without any training or gear. You're just setting yourself up for disaster.
Exactly. It's like a recipe for a momentum crash. We got to be ambitious, yeah, but also realistic about what we can actually do, right? Our limitations, our time, all that stuff.
It's like finding that sweet spot, right? Not too ambitious, not too laid back.
Yes, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, not too hot, not too cold, but just right.
I love that analogy. So how do we hit that sweet spot?
One of the best ways is to, you know, break those big, scary goals down into smaller, more manageable chunks.
Oh, yeah, that divide and conquer strategy. It's like creating a roadmap with clear markers along the way so you can track your progress and celebrate those mini victories.
You got it.
Yeah.
Each one of those milestones becomes a little boost of momentum, pushing you closer to that big goal.
Like those checkpoints in a video game.
Yeah.
They give you that sense of accomplishment and make you want to keep playing.
Exactly. And speaking of video games, they actually offer some really cool lessons about how to use momentum. Like, think about those early levels. They're designed to give you quick wins, easy accomplishments that build your confidence and make you want to keep playing.
Yeah, it's like those early levels are training your brain for success, getting you into that loop of action and reward.
Exactly. And then they gradually ramp up the difficulty, challenging you just enough to keep you hooked, but not so much that you want to quit. It's the genius way to design for momentum.
Wow, I never thought about it that way. It's like those game designers have figured out how to hack our brains for motivation.
They really have.
Yeah.
And it's something we can definitely learn from. When we're setting goals for ourselves, it's helpful to think about those early, quick wins, those things we can achieve fairly easily to get the ball rolling.
Right. So instead of trying to beat the hardest level right away, you start with those easier ones to build up your skills and confidence.
Exactly. Those early wins give you that feeling of, I can do this, which keeps you going.
They're like building blocks for those bigger challenges down the road. But, yeah. You know, sometimes I'll be working on a project and checking things off my list, but it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels, you know?
Ah, yeah, that's a classic sign of another momentum killer. Lack of alignment. It's like you're taking action, maybe even getting those small wins, but they don't feel connected to the bigger picture, to that ultimate goal you're after.
Yeah, it's like running around doing a million errands, but not actually getting any closer to where you need to be.
Exactly. And that can be so draining, mentally and emotionally. You're putting in the effort, but you don't see that progress that keeps you motivated.
So how do we avoid that trap? How do we make sure that what we're doing is actually moving us towards our goals?
It all starts with getting super clear on your why. Like, why are you doing this? What's the deeper meaning behind it? What impact are you hoping to make? When you have that strong sense of purpose, it's so much easier to see how each task, each small win, fits into the big picture.
Oh, I like that. Like having a compass to keep you pointed in the right direction, even when the path gets a little twisty.
Exactly. And it's not just about that initial why. It's about revisiting it regularly, reminding yourself of that bigger picture, especially when you start to feel bogged down in the day-to-day stuff.
So when you're feeling lost or demotivated, you pull out that compass, reorient yourself, and reconnect with your purpose.
Exactly. That can be super powerful for getting that momentum back.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But what about those times when you're clear on your why, you've broken down the goal into steps, but you just can't seem to stay consistent?
Yes, the inconsistency monster. That's a big one for sure. It's like trying to build a fire if you let it die down. It takes so much more effort to get it going again.
So how do we keep that fire burning? How do we build that consistency that's so crucial for maintaining momentum?
One of the most effective ways is to turn those actions you want to take into habits. Think about it. Habits are the things we do automatically, without even thinking about them. They're like mental shortcuts that make life easier.
So instead of relying on willpower, which can be like up and down, we're creating these automatic pathways in our brains that make it easier to do the things that help us reach our goals.
Exactly. And that's where James Clear's work on habit formation is so brilliant. He's got all these amazing strategies for making those positive habits stick.
Okay, spill the beans. How do we hack our habits for maximum momentum?
Well, one of his key insights is that we got to start small. Instead of trying to change everything at once, focus on building just one tiny habit at a time.
So it's those incremental changes, those 1% improvements that add up over time. It seems like this whole momentum effect thing is all about those small steps that lead to big things.
You got it. And when it comes to building habits, those tiny steps are crucial. They make the process feel way less daunting and way more achievable.
Right. So instead of trying to climb Mount Everest in one go, you focus on conquering one base camp at a time.
Exactly. And as you conquer each base camp, you build confidence, you gain momentum, and you get more motivated to tackle the next one.
Those early wins pave the way for the bigger challenges down the road.
Precisely. Another powerful strategy that James Clear talks about is habit stacking.
Habit stacking. I love that term. Sounds like a delicious way to build routines. So how does that work?
It's actually really simple, but super effective. You basically take that new habit you're trying to build and attach it to an existing habit, something you already do consistently.
Oh, so you're piggybacking on an existing routine, using that automatic behavior to pull the new habit along with it.
Exactly. It's like creating this mental connection between the two actions. For example, let's say you want to start meditating every morning. Instead of trying to force yourself to do it out of the blue, you could stack it onto an existing habit, like brushing your teeth. So every time you brush your teeth, you take 5 minutes to meditate.
So you're using that existing habit as a trigger or a reminder to do the new one. It's like a mental shortcut, a smooth flow from one action to the next.
Exactly. And the more you do it, the stronger that connection becomes and the more automatic the new habit gets.
It's like they become intertwined in your brain. So what other things can we do to solidify those positive habits and make them stick for the long haul?
Well, visual reminders are super powerful. Like, put a sticky note on your mirror, set a reminder on your phone, or even create a visual tracker where you mark off each day you successfully complete the habit.
Oh, I love visual trackers. There's something so satisfying about checking those boxes, seeing that streak build up.
Right. And it's not just about the satisfaction. It's about having a visual representation of your progress, which reinforces that behavior and keeps you motivated.
It's like a scoreboard for your habits, a way to track your wins and keep playing the game.
Exactly. And those visual cues are especially helpful in the beginning when you're first building that consistency.
Like training wheels on a bike, they give you that extra support until you find your balance.
Perfect analogy.
But let's face it, we all mess up sometimes, right? We fall off the wagon. How do we get back on track without losing all our momentum?
The key is to be kind to yourself and remember that slip-ups are going to happen. They're not failures. They're just part of the process. The important thing is to acknowledge them, learn from them, and get back on track as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's like we'd never berate a friend for making a mistake, right? We'd offer support and encouragement.
Exactly. We got to extend that same grace to ourselves. And remember, one slip-up doesn't ruin everything. It's about the overall consistency over time, not being perfect every single day.
Yeah, it's about having that long-term perspective. So how can we, like, prepare for those moments of weakness?
One thing that can help is to figure out what your triggers are. Like those situations or emotions that make it more likely you'll slip up. Once you know your triggers, you can come up with ways to deal with them or avoid them altogether.
So it's about becoming more self-aware, understanding those patterns that can lead us astray. Like if you know you always crave junk food when you're stressed, you can have a plan to manage that stress in a healthier way.
Exactly. And it's also about having a plan for those times when you're tempted. What are you going to do when you're stressed and want to reach for those chips? What are you going to tell yourself when you're tired and don't feel like working out? Having those predetermined responses ready can really help you stay on track.
It's like having those mental scripts ready to go so you don't have to think on your feet when your willpower is low. Okay, that makes sense. What else can we do to strengthen our willpower?
Making a public commitment to your goal can be surprisingly powerful. Like tell your friends, family, even post it on social media. That external accountability can really boost your motivation.
Oh, yeah, like having your own cheering squad keeping you accountable.
Exactly. And it's not just about the pressure from others. It's about reinforcing your own commitment. When you make that public declaration, you're sending a signal to yourself that this is something you're serious about.
You're putting it out there, making it real. Okay, what about rewards? Are those helpful for building habits?
Rewards can be awesome motivators, especially in the beginning when you're first building that habit. They give you that positive reinforcement that helps connect the behavior to the good outcome. But the key is to choose rewards that are meaningful and aligned with your goals. So instead of rewarding yourself with a pizza after a healthy workout, maybe you treat yourself to a massage or a new workout outfit.
So it's about making sure those rewards support your overall goal.
Exactly. And as the habit becomes more automatic, you might find that the feeling of accomplishment and progress becomes its own reward.
Like those positive habits become their own reward. It's a nice cycle.
Exactly. So we've talked about building momentum, avoiding those momentum killers, and cultivating those good habits that support our goals. But what happens when we hit those inevitable setbacks and challenges? How do we keep that momentum going when things get tough?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's where resilience comes in. It's that ability to bounce back from adversity, to keep moving forward even when you want to give up. And it's a skill you can develop over time.
Okay, teach us how to be more resilient. Give us the secrets to that mental toughness.
One of the most powerful things you can do is change how you think about setbacks. Instead of seeing them as failures, reframe them as opportunities for growth and learning.
So embrace those failures as stepping stones.
Exactly. Every setback, every mistake, every so-called failure teaches you something valuable. It helps you adjust your course. It's all part of the process. And even the most successful people have had their share of challenges.
Right. It's about having that resilience to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going.
Precisely. And one of the best ways to cultivate that resilience is to develop what's called a growth mindset. It's about believing that your abilities and intelligence can be developed through effort and learning.
So you see those challenges as opportunities to grow, not as threats to your ego.
Exactly. With a growth mindset, you're more likely to stick with it when things get tough, learn from your mistakes, and ultimately reach your goals. It's about seeing those challenges as a chance to stretch yourself, learn new things, and become even better.
I love that. So it's not about pretending challenges don't exist. It's about facing them head on, knowing you can grow from them.
You got it. That's what resilience is all about. It's not about being invincible. It's about having that inner strength to adapt, learn, and keep moving forward, even when things are hard.
And sometimes, even with the best intentions, we just need a break, right? Like hit pause and recharge.
Absolutely. Rest and recovery are not luxuries. They're essential for keeping that momentum going in the long run.
It's about finding that balance between pushing ourselves and giving ourselves permission to rest and come back stronger.
Exactly. And those breaks don't have to be fancy vacations or anything. Even small things like taking a walk, listening to music, or just closing your eyes and breathing deeply can make a big difference.
It's about giving ourselves permission to step away from the hustle and let our minds and bodies reset.
Right. And it's not just about taking breaks from work. It's also about incorporating self-care into our daily routines, things that nourish our minds, bodies, and spirits.
Okay, I'm all about self-care. What are some of your favorite ways to stay balanced and prevent burnout?
Well, getting enough sleep is huge. When you're well rested, you're more focused, productive, and resilient. It's amazing how much better you can handle things when you've had a good night's sleep.
It's like hitting the reset button for your whole system, right?
Exactly. And it's not just about how much sleep you get, it's about the quality too. Having a relaxing bedtime routine, making sure your room is dark and quiet, avoiding screens before bed, all those things help.
Yeah, it's about creating the right environment for your body to rest and repair so you can wake up refreshed and energized.
Precisely. And along with sleep, it's super important to nourish your body with good food, you know, stuff that gives you energy and keeps you healthy.
Yeah, fueling your momentum with healthy habits.
Exactly. And it's not about depriving yourself or going on crazy diets. It's about making choices that make you feel good.
It's about finding that balance, mm-hmm. enjoying treats, but also giving your body what it needs to thrive.
Precisely. And we can't forget about exercise. Being physically active is amazing for your body, but it also boosts your mood, reduces stress, and helps you think more clearly.
That's like a win-win-win.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be intense workouts every day. Even a short walk, a yoga class, or dancing around your living room can make a big difference.
It's about finding things you enjoy and making them a part of your routine. But, you know, let's be real. Life can be tough sometimes. Even with the best self-care, we all have those moments when we feel stressed, overwhelmed, or even a little defeated. How do we navigate those rough patches without losing all our momentum?
You're absolutely right. Those moments are going to happen, but we don't have to let them derail us. One of the best ways to get through those tough times is to practice mindfulness.
Okay, mindfulness is a word we hear a lot these days. What does that actually look like in real life, and how can it help us stay focused when things get crazy?
Mindfulness is basically about paying attention to the present moment without judging yourself. It's about noticing your breath, your body, your senses, and your thoughts and emotions without getting swept away by them.
So it's like taking a step back from all that mental noise and grounding yourself in the present moment. How does that actually help us stress?
Well, when we're stressed, our minds tend to go into overdrive, jumping from one worry to the next. That can create a sense of panic and make it hard to focus. Mindfulness helps break that cycle, bringing your attention back to the present, where you can access your inner resources and make better choices.
So it's like hitting the pause button on that mental chatter, creating space for clarity and calm. I can see how that would be helpful when you're feeling anxious. But what about those times when you're feeling completely stuck, like you've hit a wall and don't know what to do next?
One of the best strategies is to, you guessed it, break down that task or challenge into smaller, more manageable steps. That can make you feel less overwhelmed and more in control.
It's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Exactly. When you break things down into smaller pieces, it doesn't seem so overwhelming. And as you start making progress, even if it's just baby steps, you start to rebuild that momentum and regain your sense of control.
It's about reminding yourself that you don't have to do everything at once. It's okay to take it one step at a time. But sometimes, even breaking things down isn't enough. What about those times when you're just completely drained, like your energy and motivation are gone? How do you recharge and get back in the game?
That's when you got to tap into your support system. Talk to a friend, family member, therapist, coach, whoever you trust. Sometimes just having someone listen and offer encouragement can make a world of difference.
Yeah, remembering that you don't have to go through it alone. There are people who care about you and want to help you succeed.
Exactly. And sometimes, just having someone validate your feelings and offer a fresh perspective can help you see things more clearly and find solutions you might not have seen on your own.
It's about connecting with those people who support you and allow you to feel understood.
Absolutely. Just having that space to vent, to process your emotions, can release some of that pent-up stress that's blocking your momentum.
Like clearing out the mental clutter, making room for new ideas and solutions.
Exactly. And remember, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and self-awareness. It's about knowing your limits and when you need to reach out.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've talked about the science behind the momentum effect, those sneaky momentum killers, habits, resilience, self-care, and social support. Is there anything else you want our listeners to remember from this conversation?
You know, one thing that often gets lost in all the talk about productivity and achieving goals is the importance of celebrating our wins. It's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and forget to appreciate how far we've come.
So it's not just about reaching the destination, it's about enjoying the journey and acknowledging our progress.
Exactly. Celebrating those wins, big or small, is essential for keeping that momentum going. It reinforces those positive behaviors, boosts your confidence, and reminds you that you're capable of great things.
It's like giving yourself those high fives, acknowledging your accomplishments, and fueling your motivation to keep going.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just take a moment to appreciate what you've done, treat yourself to something nice, or share your win with someone you care about.
So find those little ways to savor the journey and celebrate those milestones that make it all worthwhile.
Exactly. And when you make celebrating your wins a regular thing, it becomes this positive feedback loop that keeps you motivated and engaged, pushing you towards your goals.
It's like creating a culture of celebration, acknowledging your progress, and giving yourself permission to feel good about what you've achieved.
Exactly. And that's a powerful recipe for sustained momentum. You know, as we've been talking about all this stuff, I've been thinking about how much of this boils down to mindset.
Yeah.
You know, like that growth mindset we talked about earlier.
Yeah, totally. Mindset is like the foundation for everything. It's like the soil where you plant those seeds of momentum, right? Mm-hmm.
I love that analogy. So if we want to grow a garden of success, we need to start with that fertile soil of a growth mindset.
Okay, I'm digging this garden metaphor. So how do we nurture that growth mindset, especially when we're dealing with setbacks and challenges?
One of the simplest but most powerful things you can do is change how you talk to yourself. Like instead of saying, I can't do this, try saying, I can't do this yet. That little word yet changes everything. It acknowledges that you can learn and grow over time.
It's like embracing that possibility, that potential.
Exactly. And it's not just about the words you use. It's about actively looking for opportunities to learn and grow, to push yourself outside your comfort zone and embrace challenges that help you expand your abilities.
So instead of running away from challenges, we lean into them, knowing they can help us grow.
Exactly. You see those challenges not as threats, but as chances to level up, to become even stronger and more resilient.
I'm seeing how this all connects back to the momentum effect. When you have that growth mindset, you see setbacks as temporary bumps in the road, not the end of the world. You're more likely to get back up and keep going, knowing that each challenge can teach you something.
Exactly. It's that resilience, that willingness to embrace the ups and downs that keeps the momentum going.
You know, we've talked about a lot of great stuff, but I think it's important to acknowledge that maintaining momentum isn't always easy. There will be days when you're tired, you're not feeling it, or you're just overwhelmed. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling to stay on track, who feels like they've lost their spark?
First of all, be kind to yourself. We all go through those ups and downs. It's totally normal.
Mm.
Sometimes the best thing you can do is just accept where you're at and give yourself permission to rest and recharge.
So it's not about beating yourself up for those low energy days. It's about understanding that it's part of the process and it's okay to take a break.
Exactly. Listen to your body and mind and honor what you need. And sometimes that means slowing down, taking a step back, or even changing direction completely.
I'm curious about that, changing direction. What does that look like in real life?
Well, it could mean taking a break from a project that's draining you and focusing on something that inspires you. It could mean trying a new approach to a problem that's got you stuck. Or it could just mean taking a mental break, doing something relaxing like spending time in nature, reading a book, or hanging out with loved ones.
So it's about being flexible, realizing that sometimes the best way to keep moving forward is to change your approach.
Exactly. It's about honoring your energy and finding what feels right for you in that moment.
And sometimes it just means giving yourself permission to do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. Rest is not the enemy. It's essential for staying productive in the long run. When you let yourself recharge fully, you come back to your work with more energy and focus.
You know, this whole conversation has been super helpful, but I gotta be honest, I'm still a little skeptical. It all sounds great in theory, but how do we actually put this into practice in our crazy busy lives?
That's the million-dollar question, right? It's about taking all these ideas and turning them into things you can actually do.
Okay, I'm all about actionable strategies. Give us the cheat sheet for making this momentum effect work, even when life throws us a curveball.
All right, let's recap those key strategies we've talked about.
And I'll make sure to highlight these for our listeners so they can refer back to them.
Perfect. First, remember the power of small wins. Break those big goals down into smaller steps and celebrate those milestones along the way.
So don't try to do everything at once. Take those consistent baby steps that build up over time.
Exactly. Second, cultivate that growth mindset. See challenges as opportunities to learn and grow. Reframe setbacks as temporary bumps, not dead ends.
It's about shifting your perspective, focusing on what you can learn, and using those challenges to fuel your growth.
Exactly. And third, remember the power of habits. Figure out those key behaviors that will help you reach your goals, and create systems that make it easier to do them consistently.
Make it automatic. Create those routines that make it easier to stay on track.
You got it. Fourth, make self-care a priority. Get enough sleep, eat good food, move your body, and do things that make you happy and help you recharge.
Take care of yourself, mind, body, and soul, because you can't give what you don't have.
Exactly. And fifth, don't be afraid to ask for help. We all need support sometimes, whether it's a friend, family member, mentor, or coach. Having someone to talk to brainstorm with, or just to listen can make a world of difference.
It's about knowing you're not alone. We all need help sometimes, and it's okay to reach out.
Exactly. Remember, the momentum effect isn't about being perfect. It's about progress. It's about showing up consistently, even when it's tough, and celebrating those wins along the way. It's about embracing the journey, learning from your mistakes, and never giving up on your dreams.
I love that. So well said. This deep dive has been so insightful and inspiring. I know I've learned a ton, and I'm sure our listeners have too. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners before we wrap up?
I would just say, trust the process. Trust in your ability to learn and grow. Trust in the power of those small, consistent actions to create amazing results. And most importantly, trust in yourself. You got this.
So inspiring. And remember, dear listeners, you don't have to do it all at once. Start small, be consistent, and celebrate those wins along the way. We're all in this together, cheering you on every step of the way.
Absolutely.
That's it for our deep dive into the momentum effect. We hope you found it helpful and motivating. Until next time, keep those small wins coming, and remember, you've got this.